Welcome to the New Testament Closer Walk podcast from Walk Through the Bible. This podcast is a daily adventure that will guide you on a life-changing journey through the New Testament in 1 year. Join us every day as we listen through the entire New Testament, along with a short devotional and thoughts from great Christian leaders of the past that will help bring the New Testament alive for you today. It's a closer walk with Jesus through God's Word. For more free resources, including a daily worship from the heart text, go to walkthrough.org/ntpod.
Greatness from God's point of view. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Luke 1:15. John the Baptist obviously never read Dalius Carnegius's book, How to Win Jews and Influence Greeks. He didn't fit in with the crowd. Instead, everything about him seemed to smack of the peculiar. His clothes were made of camel skins, his diet was strictly organic, and his behavior was decidedly antisocial. But the impact of John's ministry is undeniable. You'll discover a clue to John's greatness in the words Matthew Poole wrote over 300 years ago. Walk with Matthew Poole, a British author of a Bible commentary in the 1600s. We have a natural ambition to be great in the sight of men. But true greatness is to be great in the sight of God. In God's sight, a great man is one of whom God makes great use, especially in turning many souls to himself. Consider John. His father was an ordinary priest. He had no palace, no stately habitation. Nature was his cook. Yet Christ said of him, "Among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Where was his greatness but in this? He was a great and faithful preacher of God's message, and God blessed his labors to convert souls. They are great who do much of the work for which God has sent them into the world and do much good in their generation. Today's New Testament reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 38.
The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
The world views greatness as rising above the crowd, but God's perspective is just the opposite. In his eyes, greatness is stooping to serve the crowd and daring at all times to obey God. That's a greatness all can achieve if they choose to. Your determination to do God's will may not be understood by the people around you. The things you do and say, the company you keep, your zeal for the things of God, none of these will fit the status quo. But take comfort from the fact that you, like John, won't get lost in the crowd.
Thank you for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode as we take a closer walk through the New Testament in 1 year. For more free resources, including a daily Worship from the Heart text, go to walkthrough.org/ntpod. That's walkthrough.org/ntpod. Walk through the Bible. Take a walk. Change the world.